Welcome to Dodgers Daily. Casey Porter and Austin Brubaker. Austin, it's been a busy, busy time for the Dodgers over the weekend. A trip to Chicago since we've talked, and then two games in Minnesota that have been very successful. So, hey, what are your thoughts on the Dodgers as of right now?
Yeah, no, it's been a little bit since we've had the chance to be able to talk, to communicate, and especially during this series with the Minnesota Twins, we've seen some really great positive signs for the Los Angeles Dodgers, for some of the development of some of the players, for some of the players getting back on track, and some of the breakout performances, some career highs that we saw from some of the Dodgers players, some of the Dodgers pitchers. It's been good times for the Dodgers. I know the Chicago Cup Series was a little bit of a disappointment, especially when you're the Dodgers and right now you spent all this money. You expect to win every single series. The reality is that's not going to happen over the course of the full season, yet they seem to be right back on track in this series with the Minnesota Twins, and they are looking like a dominant force once again.
I would agree. So the Dodgers lose their first series over the weekend, and then turn things around, and now they've won the first two in Minnesota. So your thoughts on the – hey, pretty cool that Louis, of course, it was a little bit bittersweet for me. James Altman, who is a big friend of Dodgers Daily here. We love James here at Dodgers Daily. Got two hits last night, something of which he desperately needed. But they came off of Louis Varlin, who is the brother of Gus Varlin, who just got promoted to the major leagues with the Dodgers. And I actually got a chance to talk to Louis when he was in Tulsa. He was actually with Wichita, the AA affiliates of Minnesota, and he was with them, but they were in Tulsa while Gus was there. Had a chance to interview both of them. That is on the YouTube if you want to go check that out. So it's a little bit bittersweet to see Louis out there. James getting hits off of Louis. That was cool.
Yeah, it is a little bit bittersweet, especially with other guys from other teams that you know. But to see the Dodgers have success, and especially with a guy like a James Altman, who early in the season has gone through
ceremonial first pitch. James Altman with a check swing along the left side.
But just not getting base hits, which is what you're going to see in such a small sample size. We're starting to see James Altman hit and starting to see him hit for power. During this Minnesota Twin series, he had a home run in game one and in game two. And I think some of that stress that some Dodgers fans were feeling about James Altman early in the season is starting to wear off a little bit, to where now James Altman is starting to put up some numbers. He's starting to get his swing back. And I think we're so easy to forget just how good of a player James Altman is, and so easy, especially early in the season, to call for the replacement of a lot of these players. Be patient with a lot of these guys. Trust the process. And as you're seeing with James Altman, just like what he did in 2023 when he figured things out, he is starting to figure things out. And once he does, he's one of the most valuable players on this Dodgers team. It's just incredible to watch him. Also, got to mention, it's incredible to watch what Tyler Glasnow was able to do yesterday. 7 innings, 14 strikeouts, matched a career high. That is absolutely dominant. That is absolutely incredible for an ace-level pitcher. You're starting to get some of the production back from one of your offensive pieces towards the bottom of the lineup and one of your most valuable pieces in James Altman. And you're getting ace-level production from a starting pitcher that you acquired in the offseason. Two great developments for the Dodgers.
No doubt about that. And then also Gavin Lux got a hit last night. So the bottom of the order, they got three hits. And who would have thought that the only player without an error in the infield would be Gavin Lux to this point? That nobody would have thought that, right? Of course, he does play the position that's closest to first base.
Yeah, no, that is definitely something that going into the season with all of the concerns coming into spring training, they were almost solely focused on Gavin Lux and especially a lot of his defensive struggles that he was having during the course of the spring training. But it's a bit funny because once the season turned over into the regular season, it seems like he's started to figure things out defensively and really been one of the more solid pieces on the defensive side, which does match his track record at the major league level, which is something that we were talking about going into the season quite a bit. Definitely an interesting development for Gavin Lux, and especially as he's working on getting his offensive ability back there, hopefully being able to hit some gap-to-gap power as well, get some of those base hits.
He will.
And he absolutely will, and that's what he's working on right now, which once he does that, going to make him just that much more valuable as part of this organization and as part of this Major League starting roster.
Hey, a couple of live shows ago, got to give credit to Craig Osterberg. He brought up the fact that he thought that Shohei Ohtani was a little bit pull heavy. At that time, he was close to 70%. Well, since then, he's hit a couple of opposite field home runs. We've seen him hit a couple doubles opposite field. And then he pulled the one last night. So Shohei Ohtani, I think the pull happy thing was because he was excited to be a Dodger. Just the excitement of the whole thing. Just a little bit probably too amped up and have a little bit too much energy. He's back to using the entire part of the field. And when he does that, in my opinion, he's the best hitter in baseball.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And we're starting to see Shohei Ohtani really break out. And I remember going that early portion of the season, talk about overreacting a little bit. There was some concern about Shohei Ohtani and some of his offensive numbers that he had. And now that he's hitting for a ton of power, there's no concerns whatsoever. He is producing, and he is an elite baseball player. He's an elite hitter, and we're starting to see that production all over the field. He can hit it to the opposite field with power pretty easily, and we're seeing that on full display in a Dodgers uniform. It's incredible to watch, and that is such a great boom to this Dodgers lineup to have Shohei Ohtani, and combine that with the production early in the season that Mookie Betts is having, combine that with the rest of the offensive forces that are part of this lineup. If they can fix some of the concerns that they have through the rest of the lineup, especially some of the strikeout concerns that some of the players are dealing with early this season, we think this lineup is already this great, this good. It can get that much better.
That's the scary part.
And that is the terrifying part for other organizations, is this offense has not reached its full potential yet, and it is already absolutely incredible. That is phenomenal for this organization, because there is room to grow so far in 2024.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman came into the Minnesota series and he was 2 for his last 13. And the one thing that is the most remarkable of the many things that's remarkable about Freddie Freeman is just his consistency, both from a day-to-day, it seems like he never goes in slumps, and then also from year-to-year. I mean, he's hit 300 or above, I think, like 8 times in his career. I mean, it's just amazing his consistency. He's a Hall of Famer, no doubt about that. But he came into this Minnesota series 2 for 13, and it was like, what the hell is going on, man? It was like the world was off of its axis, right? And then he gets a couple of base hits in the first game of Minnesota. All of a sudden, he's hitting 400 this month. It's like, okay, go eat some more cookies, Freddie, and let's keep getting hits, right?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And Freddie Freeman is such an integral part of this Dodgers lineup. He is the definition of a professional major league hitter. Just absolutely phenomenal Hall of Fame level talent for Freddie Freeman.
No doubt about that. Okay, who's in your trust tree? Of course, Tyler Glasnow is in that. Who is in your trust tree on the mound?
Well, that's okay. So that's a really good question. So I think it's going to, I think today's performance is going to be pretty big for Bobby Miller, because we're going to see how he responds after when he struggled in the Chicago Cup series. Bobby Miller's stuff is absolutely phenomenal, and I have no doubt that that will play. His last performance, though, his stuff was hit during that Chicago Cup series. So I think this rebound performance is going to say a lot about the guts and a lot about the heart of a Bobby Miller, who can rebound after a tough performance, which I have no doubt that he will. I would consider him still part of that trust tree. I've been really impressed with the way Yamamoto has pitched early in the season. Still want to see more and continue to see him grow and develop as he continues to go on in the starting rotation. And then just looking at some of the arms in the bullpen, obviously, Evan Phillips is phenomenal, and he's going to be their part of closing games late in the season. There's a couple of other bullpen pieces that have performed well so far this season, like a Daniel Hudson. He's performed really well. Definitely a good professional addition to this Dodgers roster. Pitching side, there's been a little bit of variability and a lot of moving pieces. Obviously, yesterday we got to see the Dodgers debut performance of Connor Brogdon, which gave up two home runs to start off the performance, struggled during that part, settled down a little bit. The Dodgers didn't get him for nothing. They traded an incredibly good, talented prospect in Benoni Robles out of the relief pitcher. So the Dodgers, I believe, have to give Connor Brogdon at least a little bit of runtime. Otherwise, you just gave up Benoni Robles for an inning, and I don't think that's a good trade for the Dodgers. So I think the Dodgers clearly see something enough in a Connor Brogdon to take that chance. So I expect him to at least get a couple of outings for the Dodgers. And I think this is going to be a continuing thing for the Dodgers early in the season until some of their other relief pitchers are healthy, to where you could see potentially a revolving door like what we've seen with Nabil Chrismet, like what we've seen with Denelson Lamet coming up and then being designated for assignment, coming back down to try to fill a lot of those innings for parts of the bullpen. That just seems to be the way that the Dodgers operate, and seem to be the way that the Dodgers plan.
It's
to
every
go
year. The amount of transactions, like we've the amount of transactions already is just, it's mind boggling. It's just what they do, man. They have this steering wheel and they guide it into places that they feel like they go for the battles, not the war. They try to fill gaps day by day through transactions. It's just what they do.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So you're going to see a lot of these different pitchers come part of this organization for short spurts, maybe get a couple of innings here or there, and then maybe that's it for their time for the Dodgers, but that's to get them through the battle that is 162 games to try to keep this team as healthy as possible. And that's the thing that you have to keep in mind for this Dodgers. The goal is to win a World Series. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has caused their downfall the past couple of seasons has been the health of the starting pitchers. So they have to have an emphasis on keeping these pitchers, these bullpen arms, as healthy as they possibly can. Now, we've seen through Major League Baseball, there's been a lot of top quality pitchers already go down early in the season, which has called into question different things like the pitch clock, called into question different things like the velocity emphasis. Definitely, this is something that Major League Baseball, I'm sure, is looking into to try to find ways to keep their arms healthy. The Dodgers are doing everything they can to try to keep their arms as healthy as possible, knowing that that is a necessity going into the postseason, or at least to try to keep as many of them as healthy as possible, which means they're going to use different techniques like this, like using the up-down train from Oklahoma City to LA to try to keep making emphasis on keeping arms healthy, as well as just throwing in different guys for different innings throughout the course of the season. Their offense is good enough to where they can overcome Connor Brogdon giving up two home runs, or at least you would expect them to be able to do that, especially if you get a performance like Tyler Glasnow gave them, which you can't ask for anything better than what Tyler Glasnow gave them last night.
No doubt about that. Hey, super impressed with Daniel Hudson. It was interesting. His sequencing was just elite. I threw it on my social media if you're going to check it out. And he started with the four-seam up in the zone, then he hit that same pitch to the bottom of the zone, so he changed eye levels, one up, one down. Then he went to his sinker and turned it right to the bottom of the zone, and it ended up turning to the outside part of the zone to a lefty. Then he threw that same pitch up in the zone, so he turned it right up in the zone as well. So he'd gone up, down, both of the four-seam and a sinker. And he was doing it all to set up that slider that was going to hit that back foot of the lefty. And he pulled that slider. And he missed on the sinker by just a couple of inches. So it was really cool to see why the Dodgers love Major League experience, because they can sequence like this with Daniel Hudson in elite ways, changing eye levels. Also, that's north and south. Also pitching east and west by turning the ball right and turning the ball left, and doing it in a sequence to where a left-hander, you're really just trying to bury them. Now, he didn't execute his two-seam perfectly and keep it in the zone. then he pulled a slider. So what was exciting about it was, hey, a guy like Daniel Hudson is getting outs right now and still not executing the way he's probably going to be doing in July. I was super impressed with that.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely phenomenal to see the development, to see just the ability that a lot of these pitchers have and the movement that they have that can just have so many different ways to get major league hitters out, so many ways to attack these major league hitters. That is how you become a productive pitcher at the major league level, is having a wide variety of tools and a good amount of stuff. And Daniel Hudson absolutely has that. We're seeing a lot of the signs. And like we've said for this offense, there's even more rooms to grow for him through the course of the 2024 season. So that is something to watch as this Dodgers bullpen starts to take shape a little bit.
I thought it was like the most Max Muncy. Let me get this cut on over. I thought that was like the most Max Muncy moment of all time the other day. He made an error over the weekend early in the game, and Dodgers fans were losing. Oh, the left side of infield's going to kill us. And then he comes up with a couple of RBIs, a couple of hits, and it was like by the end of the game, everybody loved Max Muncy, right? It was like that right there is exactly what Max Muncy is. That was like the perfect game and microcosm of who he is.
Yeah, no, that seems to be the type of player that he is for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are going to keep Max Muncy around for this club. So don't be too invested into what can be at times the roller coaster of Max Muncy. He's going to
it's
be
entertaining
part of
this to
club.
Me. I enjoy watching it because it's not perfect. You know, the major leagues, so many times the guys are just so perfect, it's almost boring, right? Like, even this Dodgers team is so perfect at times, it's like, man, it's like you're waiting for some kind of adversity or something to overcome, right? Because everything's so perfect. But I love Max Muncy because he's not perfect, man. It's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, no, and he has a lot of grit to him. He's a fun player to watch, especially on the offensive side when he's producing, when he's hitting for a lot of power. Right now, he's striking out a lot more than what his normal major league average is, so I expect that to correct itself at some point, or at least I believe that it should correct itself at some point. Defensively, he is what he is, but if you look at the overall grand scope, which is the message that I've been talking about quite a bit with Max Muncy, he is a incredibly valuable player and has been for this Dodgers club, been a 4 WAR past couple of years, been a 2.5 to 3 WAR type of player. You do not find those pieces easily at all at the major league level, especially at the hot corner, and especially with the pop, with the ability to draw walks, which he's not even doing to the level that he can do in the 2024 season, yet he still has produced during this season. There's still room to grow with Max Muncy, so don't be overly invested in the roller coaster Max Muncy. You'll get sick pretty quick.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Hey, the last guy I want to talk about, Will Smith, super impressive. And we talked about how this season sets up well for him because he's going to get pitches to hit. And with his elite plate discipline, he's going to wait for the right pitches to hit. Another aspect of his game that I think is totally underrated, it's how strong he is. If you've ever heard the ball come off of Will Smith's bat, it just sounds different. It's a different thump when it comes off his bat. And so when we think of strength, we think of 115-mile-an-hour singles or 489-foot home runs. But really a lot of times where it manifests in a player is whenever you get jammed, maybe you're looking for a pitch away, and they throw you inside, and you're able to pull your hands inside of it and just have enough strength still, even though you're getting fisted, to get the ball to grass in the outfield. We've seen that two different times with Will Smith here lately. And that just goes to show how you can't beat the guy because he's so strong.
Oh, yeah. And especially with his ability to generate as much contact with the baseball as he does when he doesn't. He's one of the guys that does not strike out a whole lot. That strength, even if it's not barreled up exactly to where you're seeing those exit velos of 115, like what you're seeing, what seems like every other at bat with Shohei Ohtani, Will Smith can do a lot of damage, and he can put the ball in play and be able to get it into the gaps where the defenders are not and get a lot of those hits and continue the rallies that are started by the top of this lineup. Will Smith is so integral part of this Dodgers team. There's a reason why the Dodgers want him around for the next 10 seasons to be their catcher, and that is he's one of the best catchers in the game of baseball. And his offensive tools, his offensive ability, it's not exactly the same as everybody else in this lineup. And I think that creates a diversity of hitters. And that is so cool.
It is so, so cool. Will Smith, I am just so impressed with him. I love that young man. Had a chance to watch him come up through Tulsa and Oklahoma City. He did it the right way, man. He earned his way onto this roster. He was always a big prospect, but he earned it as much or more than anybody else. So super impressed with him. Hey, I think that's going to get that's going to conclude our talk on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Time to take a trip down the farm. You ready, Austin?
I'm ready.
All right, man, you got to go to Great Lakes. You got in the car. You headed on over to Midland, Michigan. First of all, it was awesome to see the Noah Miller walk-off, but just give us your thoughts on the weekend for the Loons and just your overall thought of the minor league action so far for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and talk primarily about the Loons, then we'll go ahead and dive into the rest of the system. So we're starting off in high A in the great state of Michigan. Got to go to opening day. Talked a little bit about this on Monday's show. Atmosphere on opening day in Dow Diamond for the Great Lakes Loons is phenomenal, and the fans that show up to those games are so incredibly invested into the players, into this organization. You hear a lot of the fans calling these guys not just by their names but also by the nicknames that they are given throughout, which is really cool to see. And then you go onto the field, onto the action, and I got to see the Dodgers debut of Jackson Ferris. He was on the mound. He pitched really well during his first outing. That breaking stuff that he has, that curveball, I believe is what it is elite, and yep, just drops
that
off
right
the table
there,
for him.
They just saw it there. And then he has that back foot kind of right there, that sweeping slider too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that's going to generate a lot of swinging miss, even more than what he was able to generate during his time with the Tin Cap, time against the Tin Caps. Jackson Ferris was phenomenal on the mound. And then you got to see, especially during a lot of this action during the course of the weekend, some really great relief performances. You got to see scoreless outings from a guy like a Christian Suarez, who was on the team last year, or a Lucas Weff, who came in and pitched three innings of scoreless relief for the Loons on Friday night. Those were incredible performances. The main story that, and this is something that I highlighted a little bit on Monday's show that I think is absolutely phenomenal, was the story, and I'm so impressed with him so far through the course of the season, and play of Noah Miller. Noah Miller, if you're not familiar with him, came in the Manny Margot trade. He was traded for Manny Margot, and Rain Doncone, who's actually performed during his first series in the low A level for Minnesota really well. He came over in that part of the trade, performed a little bit in spring training. Yet, I think what is so cool about Noah Miller and his story is he was part of the Cedar Rapids Colonels team in 2023 that won the Midwest League Championship over the Dodgers affiliate, the Great Lakes Loons. And he wasn't just a part of that. He was the Colonels' leadoff hitter in front of guys like Emmanuel Rodriguez, Kalai Rosario, Andrew Cassetti, Carson McCusker, all of these different guys that were part of this great Colonels lineup. He was an integral part of that. So he was part of, and one of the main reasons why the Loons did not achieve what they did in 2023. You fast forward the calendar 6.5 months later, April 5th, 2024, and it is Noah Miller that drove in and hit the game-winning walk-off hit for the Great Lakes Loons to start off the 2024 campaign. That parallel of two different, completely different outcomes going from 2023 to 2024, man, what a story that you can have. And it is not just about him having that one hit. It's his ability to draw walks, his defensive performance. And I was at the game last night in Lansing. We'll hopefully be there for the rest of the week as well. There is a couple of plays that he made yesterday that were so tough on the defensive side, made him look easy. There was a really tough short hop that was hit to him in Lansing yesterday. It looked like nothing. It looked like he would make that play every single time. And his leadership ability has been so much there through the course of the start of the season. Just phenomenal play. And the Dodgers see him as a priority piece and a priority part of this organization. And he's showing that on full display. Incredibly impressed with his performance. Just a couple of other guys that I want to highlight really quick in their performance. Dylan Campbell has four RBIs.
Told you about him. I saw that dude in Texas, man. He kicked my Oklahoma State Cowboys ass, and he was the best player on the field. And they had Trey Faltini, who is, you know, just an awesome prospect at shortstop. And I honestly, if you didn't know the names and who they were, you would have been like, oh, there's Trey Faltini. No, that's Dylan Campbell. I'm telling you, he was on a field full of dudes. Oklahoma State, Carson McCusker, you mentioned a minute ago. He was on that field. Okay, Griffin Dorshing, you've seen him, right?
Yep.
He was on that field. Dylan Campbell was easily the best player on the field. This dude, hey, I've seen him play left field. I've seen him play second base. I've seen him bunt for base hits. I've seen him hit home runs. I've seen him make diving catches in the outfield. I've seen him make sweet plays in the infield. There is not anything that Dylan Campbell can't do on a baseball field. We covered him on that draft show. I was serious when I said that. This kid, hey, man, and he's a hell of a lot of fun to watch too, isn't he?
Oh, he's a lot more. I think you're going to like him a lot more now that he's not breaking your heart fighting against the Oklahoma State Cowboys now. So I think he's going to, now that he's part of the Dodgers organization, I think you can relax a little bit and cheer him on. He's an incredible talent. Also, shout out to Griffin Dorshing, who, especially during that last game of the series, performed incredibly well. He's a great talent, and he's going to do well as part of
that
the.
That dude hit one in a regional for OSU that. The hitting facility is behind left field. He hit it over the hitting facility and into the parking lot. It was the furthest home run I've ever seen in my life.
There's no doubt that he could do that. It's always a terrifying experience going up against him, and that it just speaks to the level of talent that he has. Just a couple of other performances I want to highlight during the time that I got to see Great Lakes. Jared Karros continues to just dominate and perform. Gave up the one home run during the game, but then after that, just continued the level of success that he has had at the high A level. It's been phenomenal to watch him just go out there, develop, and be able to use his pitch mix to get a bunch of hitters out, be able to get some swing and miss. He seems professional in his approach, professional in everything that he does. Got to speak to the level of growth and the person that Jared Karros is. He's been great, and his development has been absolutely there, as well as some of the other performances that I saw. I got to see Christian Romero pitch for the first time in a Great Lakes Loons uniform last night in Lansing. He got a lot of weak contact, a lot of ground balls, which ended up having him get a couple of double plays turned. Christian Romero was really good last night. I was impressed with what he was able to do. A couple of other relief pitchers came into the game, like a Brandon Neek, who I got to see twice.
Out of Virginia.
Absolutely. He pitched pretty well last night. I know the box score will say that he gave up two runs, which is true. But I think with what he was able to do, got out of the jam in the third inning and pitched a scoreless fourth inning, got into a little bit of trouble in that fifth inning. Brandon Neek is really good, really talented left-handed pitcher, as well as another lefty that I saw yesterday. Kelvin Bautista came in and pitched a scoreless inning. Got to see him a little bit. And so there's a lot of good positive pieces that we're starting to see early in the season with this Great Lakes Loons club, still trying to find their identity. Also, how could I forget? Kyle Nevin. Yep. Kyle Nevin got on base a lot. He had a triple, RBI triple yesterday, got a couple of really good hard contacts. I think we forget how good of a player Kyle Nevin was in 2023. He was putting up great numbers through that first part of the season, to where I was looking at him as a player that could get called up towards the end of the 2023 season by the Great Lakes Loons. Didn't play the second half of the season. And now that he's starting off this season, he's coming out of the gate absolutely running with his offensive performance. So a lot of good positive pieces that we're seeing early in the season on this Great Lakes Loons club. Still waiting for more of these pieces to be able to click. And then you're going to see this team win a lot of baseball games.
Think about Bautista and Suarez, man, as they're dirty. They have that sweeping slider, and you know, Bautista has that nice little more depth to it. The thing about it, it's got to keep in the strike zone, man. When they are in the strike zone, they, like all these young guys, they get outs, no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, and that's the exact same thing like what I saw yesterday in MJ, Madison Jeffrey, who was able to get a ton of swinging.
I actually communicated with him. They didn't have video of it, so I didn't get the chance to see it. He was extremely happy. He actually added a cutter, and so he's very happy about where he's at right now.
Oh, absolutely, and you can tell that he is going out there and he has a ton of confidence in what he's able to do. Yeah, Madison Jeffrey got a chance to see
he has it. Confidence. There's one thing he always has is confidence, Madison
Jeffrey. Oh, absolutely. MJ is going to go out there and he's going to go, and he feels like he can get every single hitter out, and there's good reason to have that confidence.
No doubt about that. Okay, Rancho, man. Jared Carroll, you mentioned him too, wanted to mention his pitchability at 6 foot. What is he, 6 foot six, I think he is, and it just kind of comes out of the sky. He has the big curveball, and he locates well, just does a really good job of moving the ball around. Very excited about Jared Carroll. So for Rancho, hey, we've mentioned a couple of times, Austin, I hope that they would start Zaire Hope and then also Kendall George and Josue de Paula together and move them up maybe at least to a point together so those three could play as a unit and keep moving up. They did that. I think that's really cool. How cool is that Rancho team? But I think it's really cool they kept those three together.
Oh, no, that is really cool to see that. And the fans out there in Rancho, I know there's a bunch of people that we've gotten to interact with that were out there in Rancho. A lot of the fans got to return to the California League Southern Division champions in 2023 and get to see their club on that offense. There is a lot of prominent names, prominent prospects that are going to go out there and produce. And they're going to be a fun, high-scoring team to watch in a California league that already has a high-scoring environment. You're going to have a lot of entertaining baseball games, especially when you have the outfield trio of a Kendall George, who last night had, what, 5 walks?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that, and especially with his 100 grade speed that he has, he's going to go out there and he's going to turn those walks into triples.
There is no 100 grade, by the way.
Oh, I know there's no 100 grade. I know it's 20 to 80. That just speaks to just how far above Kendall George is. He's going to turn those walks into doubles or triples because of his ability to steal bases. You combine that with a Josue de Paula, who is just phenomenal with his ability, with his hit tools, with his contact skills, with his ability to draw walks, play the outfield. And then how about Zaire Hope with the start of the season that he has?
Dude, he's tanks, doesn't he?
Oh, he's been an extra base machine, a home run machine early in the season for Rancho Cucamonga. And we're starting to see some of the great pieces and the talent that the Dodgers got for when they decided to trade Michael Busch, who is performing incredibly well at the big league level, wasn't going to get an opportunity for the major league club. So they turned that into two pieces who are being so incredibly productive at the minor league level and could turn into two major league players when the Dodgers potentially could lead them later in their careers. I think that is a really great development, what we're seeing from them. And then you combine that with some of the other offensive pieces that this Rancho Cucamonga Quakes team has, like what we saw with a Wilman Diaz yesterday, who had, what, 3 hits yesterday. Jake Geloff and Joe Vetrano at the corners of the infield. Jesus Galiz, who I know had a home run a couple of days ago. You're seeing a lot of offensive pieces as part of those. This Rancho Cucamonga.
Don't forget my boy Joe Vetrano, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, Jake Eliff, Joe Vetrano. Oh, yeah. No, they're going to go out there, and they're going to hit a home run a mile, and then the other guy's going to hit it a mile and a half to just the top the other guy. Yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch both of those guys. And I believe there's video now of Rancho Cucamonga. Didn't get a chance to watch it yesterday. That is a great development, and that's something that they should have. And now that they do have, got to give credits to Rancho Cucamonga and just the production value just continuing to increase. So at a start, now we have videos. Now you get a chance to see these guys. But don't just watch these guys on TV. Go out and support them at the stadium if you live in the California area. And go out, and so you can say you had a chance to watch the outfield trio of Kendall George, Zaire Hope, and Josue De Paula. Not just those guys, everyone else that's part of this club, because there's a ton of talent in Rancho.
No doubt about it. Hey, Kendall Williams last night struggled with the strike zone, but didn't give up a whole lot of runs. Tulsa lost in extra innings, but Tulsa's going to be a really fun team to watch. You talk about Dalton Rushing, Diego Cartaya, Yainer Fernandez, all three on the same roster. You have Jose Ramos in the outfield. You've got Austin Gauthier at shortstop, who, by the way, hit an absolute just complete bomb last night. So Tulsa is going to be a really fun team to watch.
Oh, yeah. No, it seems like, yeah, this Tulsa team is phenomenal. And there's a lot of remnants, a lot of players that are part of the 2023.
There's the Gauthier bomb right there, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Gator's something else. There's a lot of pieces that are part of this 2023 Great Lakes Loons Club. And I only mentioned that because I got to see up close just how much that team wanted to win and the competitive fire that was inside of each one of those guys that remains as part of this 2024 Tulsa Drillers Club. And the talent level that all of these players have is incredible. You look up and down the roster, Austin Gauthier, who you just had a chance to see hit that home run. Gator was perhaps one of the best offensive pieces in the Dodgers system and across minor league baseball last year with his ability that he has. I hope he's not in Tulsa for long. I hope he gets an opportunity in Oklahoma City. But right now that he is there, watch out if you are a pitcher in AA in the Texas League. And then you go up and down the rest of that roster. T.Y. Taylor Young
hit first hit of the year, first home run.
Absolutely. That is great to see.
That's so
Taylor Young. Stolen base as well. Hopefully he gets enough playing time to actually reach 60 stolen bases this season. I know that we mentioned to him about that during the course of the offseason, which there's an interview, Dodgers Daily, part of the Dodgers Daily Network on YouTube. Griffin Lockwood Powell is another catcher that they seem to be. They have four different guys right now that can play the catching position at Tulsa. He's getting a lot of time and is going to get a lot of opportunities at first base. And he has great offensive skills, offensive ability. Combine that with a little bit more of the veteran-ish presence, like a Brendan Davis, some of the other guys. Brandon Lewis is on the club as well. There's a lot of great offensive pieces and competitive fire within these guys. And then you look at the pitching as well. We've seen early season great success for a guy like a Jack Dreyer, the Maytag, and he was so integral, and he continues to have such success, such swing and miss ability coming out of a guy like a Jack Dreyer. It's great to see, as well as a lot of the other relief pitchers that they have. Yesterday was fun to watch these relievers come out there and really perform.
Braden Fisher is another guy who's done very well. He started in Triple A Oklahoma City because Oklahoma City, their first game was a bullpen game, so they needed an extra arm. So they brought Braden Fisher up for that first game, sent him back down. He has been simply fantastic. Antonio Knowles was really good last night until that very last inning. It got kind of late. I'm super excited also to watch Ryan Sublette. I think Ryan Sublette, he's a guy that has a unique arm slot that is super competitive. I think he is very, very, very much there. He is right there on the screen, Ryan Sublette. Very much under the radar. So, and hey, also last night it was really cool because guess who we got to see in Tulsa? I can't wait to see him in person. I know he's one of your favorites, Austin. Juan Murillo. I know Juan gave up a home run last night, but then after he gave up that home run, he like got pissed about it, and it was like, all right, that ain't happening again. And he threw 398 and then a really dirty slider, and it was game, set, and match, even for a professional hitter. So the Oklahoma City roster is super fun to watch, and excuse me, the AA Tulsa roster. And then with AAA Oklahoma City, it's been all about Andre Lipsius, but let's start with the rehab performance of Walker Buehler and how he retired 14 of 16 hitters, and he was about 93 to 95 on the BLO. I think that's going to continue to bump as he gets further away from his rehab. So Walker Buehler had a very successful outing.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Dodgers fans are antsy to get Walker Buehler back. He's still working through his rehab, still working to try to get his stuff completely there to where he feels comfortable about and about getting major league pitchers, major league hitters out, which I guess if you ask Walker Buehler right now, he'd say that he could get every single major league hitter out. That's just the competitive nature that he has. Dodgers are still working through him, and he's shown a lot of reason to be optimistic about with Walker Buehler and the progress that he has, not just his ability to get 14 of 16 hitters out, some of the swing and miss stuff that he has had. Stuff isn't completely where it needs to be. I think that it is going to grow as he continues to go through these rehab starts and as the adrenaline starts and continues to build for Walker Buehler, especially once he gets back on the mound in Dodger Stadium. That adrenaline that you get when pitching in front of a major league stadium is unlike anything you can reproduce at the minor league level. As great as the atmosphere is in the old Bricktown ballpark in Oklahoma City, Walker Buehler, I still believe, is going to be fine, and especially with his coming into his walk year where he's working on trying to get that big contract. He's going to do everything that he can to go out there and perform and try to win a World Series with this club and pitch well. So I'm anticipating him to come back at some point pretty soon. Until then, you get a chance to see him in Oklahoma City. So if you're in that area, definitely go check out, while you can, Walker Buehler.
Yeah, I had a chance to actually interview Kyle Hurt and watch Walker Buehler. Didn't get a chance to do either because I was at the Bedlam Series and a whole bunch of other different things went down. But hey, Andre Lipsius, he has been simply fantastic. Came over from the Tigers. He's probably been the best offensive player so far.
He's been a really positive piece for this Oklahoma City baseball club roster. He has produced a lot. He's been a bright spot, hit for some power, be able to play a lot. Andre Lipsius, there's a reason why the Dodgers decided to acquire him and decided to make him a priority piece on this Oklahoma City baseball club roster. He's close to the major leagues. He can be one of those guys to where if you need to call somebody up and you can have the ability to add somebody to the 40-man roster, you would feel at least somewhat comfortable calling up a guy like an Andre Lipsius. He's got a lot of talent. He's so close to being at that major league level or sustainable major league level. It's about the opportunities, and those opportunities are going to come by performances in Oklahoma City. So continue. Excited to see his growth and development. Also, a guy that's performing well so far this season is Miguel Vargas. We've seen him hit for some power for this Oklahoma City baseball club early in the season. His offensive ability continues to be there. And this is a player that we've talked about quite a bit, and he's struggled at times in the past, especially last year at the major league level. The talent is still there, and especially as he grows into this new role as a left fielder, I'm excited to see the development that he has. We'll see how the production...
Let me stop you right there. I just had a video. Watch this. So inside pitch, and he inside outs it. Whenever Miguel Vargas is able to get inside of an inside pitch like that, when he's looking away, and he's strong enough to inside out that thing to right center or to up the middle, that's when you know Miguel Vargas is on his game. That hit right there is a great sign.
Yeah, that is absolutely the signs that you're looking for. If you are a Miguel Vargas, you want to look for those ability to hit it to the gaps, the right center field and that inside pitch. So there is great signs to see from Miguel Vargas so far this season that lead credence to believe, hey, maybe there's absolutely is something still in there in Miguel Vargas. Perhaps the half of the season that he had is not the indication of the level of talent that Miguel Vargas has.
Yeah, Andy Páez has not quite got going the way that he likes to get going. But we know that Andy Páez is Andy Páez. I know a lot of people thought he was going to get brought up. I explained that in the hot take yesterday, why I think the Dodgers didn't do it and why they're very justified not doing it, why I agree with it. But another guy that has had a really nice start to his AAA season, Cody Hosey. Really rooting for this guy. This is a guy that has grinded and grinded and grinded. I think he spent like 3 or 4 years in AA. Finally in AAA Oklahoma City, super excited to see him have success.
Yeah, have success, be able to stay healthy, be able to stay onto the field. Great to see Cody Hosey out there, and especially with some of his ability later in the season in 2023, you get to see some of the pieces start to click a little bit more if you're Cody Hosey. Defensively, I have no concern. He's going to go out there and be phenomenal. The offensive portion of his game has been the piece that has been missing. It seems to be starting to click a little bit for him at the AAA level. And this is and there was reason to believe towards the end of 2023 that this could be the case. And he's continuing the great performance that he had to close 2023 to start 2024. And if Cody Hosey can become the prospect that the Dodgers thought so highly of and a lot of fans around the game of baseball thought so highly of, it's going to add so much depth to this Dodgers organization, to the minor league side, and just add to the level of talent that is so incredibly high. Cody Hosey is a great talent. It has always been in there. Now it is starting to finally click.
No doubt about that. Hey, we got about 1 minute left here, Austin. Final thoughts. It's been a fun show today.
Oh, it's been a really fun show. Good to see the minor league action really in full swing of things, to be able to watch Tulsa, watch Rancho, watch Great Lakes in action. The Dodgers are having success. I know they'll play the final game against Minnesota today at 10 o'clock a.m. on Pacific time. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, continue to see the development of these guys, continuing to see the development at the major league level. The development of these players does not stop once they reach the major leagues. It continues at the major league level. So be patient with a lot of these guys and trust the process. And as we've seen with the James Outman, it can start to click and you can turn into an incredibly valuable piece as part of this organization. Great stories up and down this Dodgers farm team, from the story of Noah Miller being able to be a Loons killer to a Loons hero from 2023 to 2024, from some of the players that came over in trades like the Michael Bush trade, Jackson Ferris and Zaire Hope, to the incredible grit and toughness and winning ability that Tulsa has on full display, to see some of the continuing fight in Oklahoma City for their baseball club. All stories worth watching up and down the Dodgers farm, which means tune in to this Dodgers farm system. Go to these games and be sure to tune in to Dodgers Daily, because we'll be covering it.
This is going to be the format for the Down on the Farm this year. We felt like it would be better as a collaborative effort where we could slow down a little bit, maybe not make it feel like you're drinking through a fire hose, if you will, trying to take in all these prospects. So we might get to fewer prospects, but hopefully get to highlight a little bit more relevance in terms of where they're at in their career, who they're playing with. And so it might actually sink in a little bit better for those of you that don't follow the minor leagues like nobody does, like Austin and I do, because we watch them every night. So hopefully you like this format of the Down the Farm. Very excited about it. Want to thank you, Austin, for joining. Want to thank everybody else for tuning in. And until next time, which will be tonight with Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Hey, go Dodgers.